Well, I've had a grand total of probably about an hour to get ready for this, so that's probably better than if I'd have known all weekend, I guess. I don't consider myself a preacher at all, so if anybody asked, did Kyle preach today, I would tell him no. Tell him that he led the Bible study today. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 4. Now, I figure if I read a lot, can't go wrong too much. So we're going to talk about the parable of the sower. And says, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into the boat and sat in it out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables in the teaching, saying, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it. Some fell on the rocky places, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears, let them hear. So, I know we're talking about the parable of the sower, but really, verse 9 where he says, whoever has ears, let them hear, that's what I really want to get at today, is if we have ears, let us hear. And, we all have ears, we all hear, but, you know, there's a difference between hearing what somebody's saying and really hearing what somebody's saying. My wife can tell you that a lot of times she tells me stuff and I'm hearing what she's saying, but I'm not really hearing what she's saying, you know. So he says, whoever has ears, let them hear. And when he was done, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. So I always think that's weird, you know. Why would Jesus say that he didn't want for people to turn and be forgiven, you know? And I think what he's getting at there is that he, you know, he speaks in parables so that the people that really want to know, you know, would be the ones that find out. And it's like that today. It's, you know, if you really want to know God, then you can hear his voice. It says, then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parables? So he's kind of getting on to him. And he says, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away. Okay, so That's a lot of the seed that's sown today. You know, if you think about all the people that hear the word. You know, we're in the Bible Belt. We're everybody either thinks they're a Christian or has heard the word, and you know, it just bounces off the path. And it says that others like the seed sown on rocky places hear the word at once and receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So we see that a lot in churches. You know, you'll see people come in and they'll be all excited and they'll be on fire, and then next thing you know, you look around and they're gone. You know, they received the word with joy and they were growing a lot, but their root really wasn't in Christ, and that's what we've got to dig our roots down into what we're. Into God and not into like the surroundings. A lot of times people come to church and it's like their relationship is based on the other people that are here, or their relationship is based on whatever activity or we let them play guitar or something, you know, so they keep coming. But our relationship needs to be based and rooted in Christ, in Jesus. Okay. It says, the other seed, others like the seed sown on the rocky places, hear the word at once. Oh, I'm in the wrong spot. Still others, like the seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And, man, that's America right there. How many times do people, they receive the word, and then everything that's going on, and it takes your thoughts away. It takes your, you know, the busyness of life, and you gotta work this many hours, and you got kids, and they're playing ball, and I don't really have time to go to church this Sunday, and then, well, I don't have time to go to church next Sunday either, and next thing you know, you're not coming to church at all. But, you know, it's not just coming to church, it's about your relationship with God, and how many times do we let the whole world choke you out? You know, how many times are we, we'd rather watch TV than we get into the Word of God, or we'd rather listen to whatever on the radio than listen to preaching. So I think that is America right there. That's us right there. We want to be entertained all the time by things that aren't God, and that's the things that are just choking out the roots. It says others like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And, you know, that's what we need to be striving for, to be good seed. And I don't really understand how you can be good seed, you know, other than you have to think about all the stuff that the bad seed happens, all the stuff that happens to the bad seed, and don't let it happen to you, I guess. But, let's see here. The next place that we're going to go is 1 Kings. I should have wrote this down. 1 Kings chapter 19. And keep in mind, whoever has ears, let them hear when we go over there. Boy, it's quiet in here. I'm used to Sunday school where I can get Tim and Pete talking and sit there. All right, 1 Kings chapter 19. This is it's about Elijah, and a lot of times we talk about chapter 18, which is where Elijah calls down fire. And so that's what happened right before this, is he called down fire. There was the prophets of Baal, and he was the only prophet of God. And he called down fire, and, they couldn't get Baal to make fire. So all the prophets were killed and everything. So that's where we pick up in chapter 19. It says, Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom brush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under a bush and fell asleep. Okay, so he's running for his life, basically. And he gets to a place where he's just like, okay, whatever. You know, I'll just lay here and die. So he lays underneath this broom brush. And the angel of the Lord comes to him. And he says, what's he say? Okay. So that once the angel of the Lord touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals. and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Okay, so the angel wakes him up, brings him something to eat, and says, you need to eat this. Says the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. Okay, so he went from being so tired from running for his life that he was going to die to the angel giving him strength, and he goes 40 days. I mean, it doesn't say that that's the only thing he ate or drank, but it kind of makes you think that. So he's going 40 days and 40 nights journey from before where he was, you know, wanted to die. Let's see, where are we now? Okay. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied. He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. So he's still got the same attitude. He's just got a little bit more strength since the angel fed him and stuff. But, you know, he's still thinking that he's the only one left. You know, I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me, you know. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And that's really what I wanted to get at, you know, is all these different things came. You know, it's just like the seed that has all the things choking out the root. You know, all these different things came, but it wasn't God. You know, it says, a great powerful wind came through and God wasn't in it. And there was an earthquake and God wasn't in it. And there was a fire and God wasn't in it. Well, there's all this stuff going on around us that God's not in. You know, and if we don't have our ears set to hear him, how are we ever going to hear from God? It says, after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. A lot of times when God speaks to us, it's not this big, loud, audible thing, you know, that it's a gentle whisper. It's sometimes you have to tune out all that stuff just to hear God. It says, then a voice came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. So here he goes into his big spiel again about, I'm the only one left, you know. They're trying to kill me, and I'm the only one left. And the Lord said to him, go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elijah will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and whose mouths have not kissed him. Trying to decide whether I wanted to keep going, but I think he goes into the call of Elijah after that. But, you know, this whole time he's thinking that he's alone. You know, he was to the point of wanting to die. He thinks he's alone and they're trying to kill him. Well, God's telling him now, go back, anoint this guy, and he's going to take care of everyone that this guy doesn't take care of. And he gives him a list of things to do. And when he gets there, He does all that stuff and everything happens. But he says, yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal. So all this time he's been thinking that he's the only one left, that there's nobody there. But in reality, there's 7,000. Is that what it said? 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal. So a lot of times the enemy lies to us and we think we're the only one, or we think that there's all this stuff going on, and that's really the enemy telling us that. And I don't know. It doesn't say in here if that was the enemy talking to Elijah or whatever. But you can get things in your head, and that's not the way they are. And if we listen to God's voice, He'll tell us. You know, He'll tell you, you know, you're not the only one. There's 7,000 more over here if you'll just do what I'm telling you. But it's 11:37. And I think that's it. I don't know if it's the fact that I've drank 3 cups of coffee this morning or it's a little nervous up here, but I went a lot faster. But I did think of one more thing. Papa Jeff told me one time that 30 minutes is long enough for a good sermon and too long for a bad one. So really, think about what you're listening to. Think about who you're listening to. If you have ears, let yourself hear. You know, block out the distractions and try to listen to God. And that's really all I've got. Tim is bringing the message tonight. I think Pete's going to be here, but Tim's going to speak to us. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church family. I thank you for this place that we can come and worship you. I thank you for your spirit that's here. And I pray that you would just be with us as we go through the week and that you would speak to us and that we would have ears and hear. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.